Hello, it's your boy Dre here, and I'm starting a new podcast. Not as if I'm not busy enough as it is, but I like to suffer. I love to give you, the people, content that you need and want. And we're not going to talk too much about sports. Sports are Jace, but we're going to also bring a bit of life stuff into it. So, the podcast for you, your information, is Feeling Ranty. So, we're going to... Ranty in American. We're going to speak about like all things that we, you know, love and care about, as well as obviously a bit of sports, obviously, because we've had a lot of stuff that has happened in free agency. We're going to be obviously hitting heavy with that, but I'm joined by my friends, amigos. I'm going to go with the old crew first of all, before we introduce the newbie. You know, George on sports, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you? Just a reminder that I beat these lot in F1 go-kart racing of recent. That would be Dre and
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy that while you can. George is gonna have a little bit of a minor surgery, and I'm gonna make sure that I'm gonna rebook us. You challenged it. You asked for a rematch. You said I can have a rematch at any time, just WWE style. I'm gonna do it with your worst. So you're driving in one hand. Yeah, Ash, who also whipped me too, is here.
I snuck in around you, Dre. It was yesterday was really fun, actually. Absolutely loved that. And for somebody who doesn't have a full driver's license, to beat McLaren Dre. Yeah, it was a good feeling.
Wow. You had to bring the team into it. I see what you're doing here.
I see.
So shout out to F1 Drive who looked after us yesterday. We had a great time. And they gave us lots of goodies, even though I'm not a Spurs supporter. I do appreciate the goodies nonetheless. I would love to see George's face, who's an Arsenal fan, opening up all of these goodies because it's our rivalries. It is the equivalent of you giving me Eagle stuff, which brings me nicely along to our newbie, Amanda.
Hello. How are you?
Amanda is based in Miami, as you can tell by the accent. Mm-hmm. She's not suffering over here with the fog and the cloudy weather that we have. I haven't seen the sun in such a long time. I know. Right, you ain't gonna rub it in too much. So how are you, Amanda?
We're great over here. Warm and sunny, you know. That's Florida.
Yeah, it is always nice and sunny over there, you know, except for September. Mm-hmm. Kind of stay away from that because that's hurricane season. But I still see people trying to swim, even though I guess. So in this new show that we got, we're going to, as I said, mm-hmm. we're going to be speaking about, like, you know, loads of different things that are dear to our hearts, that is in and out of sports. But, you know, obviously because free agency just happened and, you know, especially with myself and Amanda have a lot to do with this, where our two teams have you've taken one of our players.
We took one. Yeah. And we're very excited about it.
So, for those who don't know, who've been under a rock, Saquon Barkley, who's the star player of the New York Giants. I haven't said that in such a long time because I've been so angry at them.
We're very happy with them. You know, I don't usually like the Giants, but right now we're quite pleased.
So, Amanda is happy because Saquon Barkley has gone as a free agent to her team and seemed to have started some type of Avengers type team, you know, even though I'm hoping the same thing will happen and it'll fall on their face. But how excited are you for this move?
I think we're super excited. Last year, I think, you know, the end of the season, as we all saw, we took a huge demise and I think we needed to come revamp. And I think they made some great moves and this was one of them. I think it's going to be great. And I think him and Jalen Hurts with the tush push, I think we're going to be great.
No, the bad
ready to play us twice this year. Yeah, they just said yesterday they're going to keep it. We could do it. Tush push is here to stay.
Oh, you know what? Like, don't worry, Giants fans. Like, you know, your good news for you is that despite my free agency offer, there was a lot of offers from a lot of teams for me to jump aboard. I'm staying loyal and staying with the team.
Are you?
Someone has to, because, you know, Saquon ain't doing it. That's what he jumped and drove down the street to the enemy, which brings me up helps me bring up the actual conversation of rivalries. So let me give you a bit of background, guys. So what happened is, obviously Saquon made a move last week, last Monday, I believe. He made the announcement and it came out and he was posting so forth. And then, you know, Tiki Barber on WFAN, excuse me. Said in jest, tongue in cheek, like, you know, oh, he's dead to me now. And it wasn't really anything else, but obviously, as everyone likes to make more of things than they are, then, you know, everyone tried to jump in. Media, other media personalities start to say stuff. Then you had, you know, Ryan, what's his name?
Clark.
Say again? Ryan Clark. That's
Ryan
it.
Clark.
But yeah. Ryan Clark from ESPN jumped in and just added more fuel to the fire, talking about how Tiki Barber wasn't a good teammate and all these other things. Joy Taylor, who I love, you know, she came for Tiki Barber a bit. The thing that I kind of got annoyed with, because we moved into this new place, and this is I blame LeBron for a lot of things, just pretty much, even if I stub my toes, but the problem is that it's you know, and I'll put this question to you guys, like rivalries for me, healthy rivalries, where, you know, I don't listen. Saquon, let me just put this out there before people come for me. Saquon Barkley is a really nice guy. He's been a franchise face for a long time. Nothing wrong at all. No reports, no nonsense that we've heard outside the activities of the sport. Professional, well-trained guy. And he's honestly one of the nicest people that you can meet. We've met him in London when we got to ask him a question. He's a very, very nice guy. However, rivalries say to me that, you know, not you're dead to me, but I'm not trying to see you win or compete or in the green, and I unfollowed you. Pettiness. Yeah, I accept this. This is pure, utter, unfiltered pettiness.
Wow.
I unfollowed you immediately, straight away. I'm not trying to see you do well there. You're getting paid. You'll be able to feed your family. Great, again, before people come for me. However, I ain't trying to see you win. I want to see you lose badly because I hate the Eagles and vice versa. I'm sure they hate us. So I think that rivalries are fine as long as they are, you know, sane. Well, you're not going to be sending, like, you know, a turd to one of the players or something weird that people do, or being a keyboard gangster and threatening their families, or even shouting abuse at the families, because nowadays they climb up the bleachers to come and get you, as I think one of the Eagles fans did that, and then I think they got
Eagles fans are crazy.
I've heard.
Yes.
They're crazy. Yeah. Like, there's no boundaries, there's no limits. So they take rivalries serious.
I'll come to you, Amanda, first of all. Like, rivalries. What's the rivalries mean to you? Like, obviously you saw everyone, you know, shaming Tiki for saying what he wants to say. But, like, what's rivalries to you?
I mean, I think in Philadelphia we take rivalries, like, super serious. Giants, Cowboys, like, no, it's hard for us. We don't, you know, but I think that's what makes the game fun. Is, you know, you know, we play the Giants and the Cowboys each twice a year. We know there's going to be at least four games where the energy's great, it's fun, because we don't like each other. And so you're right. We don't want to see them win. They don't want to see us win. We just don't like each other. This year, even though the Eagles really went downhill, the Cowboys did too. So for us, a lot of us were like, all right, this wasn't great. We didn't love losing, but the Cowboys also not doing well. It kind of, like, evened it out for us. That's kind of how we see it in Philadelphia, is it keeps us going. We like a rivalry. We're ruthless fans. We're not always the nicest. But I think it's healthy. Again, some of the Philadelphia fans do take it to an extreme. I don't condone those ones, but I think for us, it's what makes it exciting. We really take our rivalry seriously, and it's been in my blood since I was, like, a baby. So that's all we know up there.
Amanda, on the back of that, right, I've got a friend who he used to play in the UK, but he now plays at Temple University in Pennsylvania.
I
had him on the show. His name's Peter Clark. He's a tight end. And obviously they play at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yep.
And he was telling me about the fans in Philly. And I know you say there's, you know, there's a meter. Some are minor and some are major. He was telling me about Eagles losing games and people's cars being destroyed on the side of the street in pure anger. Now, if I'm one of them people and my car is being destroyed purely because the Eagles lost, hell has to break loose.
Like, we're not. I know. The mentality in there sometimes, I mean, they're when we won the Super Bowl, they're just crazy people. And that's where I always say, whenever I meet someone, I'm like, oh, I'm an Eagles fan. And they're like, oh, you must be diehard. I'm like, yeah, in Philadelphia, it's like there's no in between. If you're either not a fan or you're diehard. Yeah. And they are diehard. So they do, they take things to an extreme sometimes where it's not healthy. You know, like they always talk about, we like, oh, what do? We threw snowballs at Santa. Like everyone, we can't live that down for the rest of our life. But they're just ruthless like that. So there is that, like even they turn on each other, it gets bad.
Oh man.
I always tell people, if you're going to a game in Philadelphia, like you need to come in strong, like be prepared, because it's not for the faint of heart. It's not.
Riot shields.
Listen, yeah, this is the
seriously,
same team.
Seriously.
This is the same team that when Victor Cruz, you know, had a serious injury and he had to have the medical cart come on, they were throwing stuff at him.
I know. On the cart. It's so embarrassing. So you embarrassing. Know
what? This is what I think of you Eagles fans. I'll tell you, you're going to get yours. Don't worry about that. It's coming. More disappointments going to come your way.
We own it, though. I mean, their saying is, no one likes us, we don't care. That's literally Philadelphia's slogan. Like, they own it, at least. It's just like, we know people don't like us, so it's okay.
You got to roll with the avenue.
Yeah, you do. You got to own it and be like, all right, this is us, and we got to go with it.
on rivalries, because I do like to stir the pot. So I'm bringing it up. I'm going up the country now to middle America. Where there's been a move happen that has upset Ash's whole world, where Aaron Jones has exchanged his green Packers sombrero to Viking sombrero, and immediately, and I'm just going to remind Ash because I'm trying to wind her up, because misery loves company.
Bring it on.
And I'm going to bring you down with me too. He immediately, within 2 minutes of him having his first ever press conference, he decided to do the skull.
And yeah, I see that.
I was there for it. I was thinking of Ash. I was thinking, my first thought is Ash is going to be pissed. So, how are you feeling several days after? Still angry, or?
You know what? My original reaction, fuck him. Really, to be honest.
What?
Hey, he's like you were saying, Aaron Jones is the loveliest guy. We've met him in person. He's such a dear friend. He's amazing, both on and off the field. The man can't do any wrong, but he puts on a Viking jersey. He does the skull clap. He's dressing up all of his family now in purple.
Mm-hmm.
Him. Screw him. Vikings are coming third in the division. I think still the Bears will come last. Vikings are going to come third regardless. I always find it so interesting when you get players in any sport, not just the NFL, but any sport, mm-hmm. when they've been playing for one team for so long and then they sign with a division rival, their mindset must be absolutely fascinating for a psychiatrist or something, because they've been chatting shit. They've been riling everybody up for years about this opposing team. And now suddenly at the drop of a hat and the snap of a finger, they're going and playing with the rival team that, you know, that they've been fighting against for so long.
Right. Yep.
I find it so fascinating. And I think that, like, that rivalry for me is like, it's just so enticing and exhilarating to watch. I've said this before to you guys, I am so excited just to, oh my God. And if I can get to Lambeau Field for this game, I'll sell a kidney for it. It'd be great. I want to see Aaron Jones run out of the away tunnel to the Lambeau crowd. Now, the people in Green Bay, they absolutely love Aaron Jones. Of course, they're like, there'll be applause for him. People will love him and stuff. But just because you've done great for us for so many years, you're still now on a rival team. We want to see you lose. We want to see you kind of throw your hands to the sky, pray to God, and ask why this has all happened. And I'm here for it. And I'm here for it. So, yeah.
That's got to burn.
There's nothing. Listen. George, I'm telling you now that as much as I have had to get rid of, like, I had all these Saquon Barkley jerseys here. And then now I've had to have a fire sale. Getting, I haven't set them on fire, but I've had to get rid of these things as much as possible. I'm telling you now. Like, when I saw that video of him saying his daughter, and she's cute as hell, saying,
she is cute.
Daddy,
yeah.
Daddy, are we going to start winning now? Oh!
I mean, look, she's good, but she speaks the truth. She speaks the truth. Giants have been struggling.
And it makes me wonder what kind of conversations he's been having with his daughter as well.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
could have taken it a step further and been like, but daddy, you said the Giants ain't shit. You said yeah. that. Like, what?
Oh, it makes me wonder. Let me tell you something now. Wonder, please let this year move quickly because I'm ready for this. I'm telling you now. I want this. I want this smoke. And I promise you this is that, you know what? The reception that you are going to get, Mr. Brown, coming into... Sorry, Brown. Barkley. Mr. Barkley. The reception Barkley. That you're going to be getting from when you come back to the Meadowlands, when you come back to the stadium with the Giants fans there, you are going to see an angry sea of blue. And I promise you... Yeah, what, you think they're just going to trounce over us?
Well, I was going to say, he might get all the hate, but what if he starts running 200 yards over you guys?
Yeah, like, I think he will.
I was saying, right, they've gone from one of the worst O-lines in the game, well, Saquon Barkley has, to top three, top two.
Yep.
I know Jason Kelsey's gone, so that makes a big difference. But still, man, like, he might get all the hate. He might... They use that kind of fuel. Same way Aaron Jones is going to be like, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to come in and stamp all over you guys and score touchdowns and put my sombrero hat on in the end zone. Same way Barkley, I mean, just beware. Just be ready.
Yep.
He's gonna get that. He's gonna get the hate. He's gonna use that to fuel himself. And he's got Jalen Hurts right next to him. No one knows what's coming. Exactly. Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it Barkley? You guys could be in some trouble.
That's what I mean. I think the two of them together, like, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a fun year.
You know, the one thing I hate.
I'll take the pressure off your Giants. Go on, Ash. Go on, Ash.
The one thing I hate, actually, just thinking about it, is like you've just said there, George, obviously these players who've now gone to rival teams, especially in the NFL, when you get touchdown celebrations, how are they going to do that? Because I'm thinking to myself, Aaron Jones, there is no way that that man can do a Lambeau leap in Lambeau Field anymore.
Are you going to do it?
People get fired up when rival players do that anyway.
No, you're going to do it. He's going to definitely
Terrell,
do it.
But listen, I went when Terrell Owens left the Eagles and went to the Cowboys. I was at his first game back at Lincoln Financial, and he did. He did the Eagle. He did the Fly Eagles Fly at the end, and it was like bad.
Oh, he did,
and he pushed buttons. T.O. was like pushing those Eagles buttons like so hard.
Aaron Jones, this one's for you. If you score a touchdown, which I'm very sure that you will, you score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Now, I love the Packers. Like, I do. I love Jordan Love, usually. I love the Packers. I think they're a classy organization. But I'm here for the smoke because other people have to suffer with me too. So, when you score a touchdown, please, Aaron Jones, I'm asking you, can you do the Lambeau leap? Please.
Well, they will push him straight back off. Yeah,
they'll probably help him up and then push him back off.
They will shove it, but get the hell out of here. We do it.
Also, can you arrive to the stadium with your new Minnesota Vikings sombrero?
Sombrero.
Like, put it all on. Because I know that Saquon Barkley is going to do it to us. So I want you to do that too.
Yeah, you got to lean into it at that point.
I think you have to. The rivalry between those two teams is too historic to not fully lean into it. It's the same way with you guys as well. But taking the heat off you, Dre, and heat off the Packers.
Yes.
My rant rather than rivalry is something I feel like is such common sense. But for a league that makes the most profit out of all sports, being the NFL, just doesn't seem to get right. Every year we have a draft. Every year we have a combine. Like, you can pretty much see where I'm going with this. Every year we have guys who are drafted in, you know, first round. They get the big money, the rookie contracts, et cetera, set up their family to life. Amazing. Every year we get guys who are undrafted. Cool. Every year we get guys who are drafted in the fifth round, sixth round. See Tom Brady, see Isaiah Pacheco, see Isaiah Franklin. Why on earth, I don't understand for the life of me, are they so obsessed with these combine numbers? And then on the other hand, you have the obsession of guys who don't want to attend pro days and don't want to do workouts. I get it. I actually get it. If you have a chance to potentially go out there, let's say quarterbacks who are throwing on air. Now, I'm not out here trying to say that, you know, the quarterbacks aren't good enough because they refuse to do it. Number one, depending on who you're throwing to can make you look crap, essentially, right? Some of the quarterbacks, I've seen it happen where the receivers that they're using on these combine and pro days cannot catch to save their lives, number one. Number two, they might have an off day. Do you know what that could do to their draft stock? Plumbing them down. Do you remember Lamar Jackson went all the way down?
You think what you think it should be based off of the just off of the tape from last season?
Bro, literally, Caleb Williams. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of split on. He's a great talent, but I'm split on his personality. But he did say something that I felt was, yeah, I said it. He said something I resonated with. He was like, I don't need to do these drills. You want to see me? Why do I need to do these things on air? If you want footage, I played how many games over my college season? Go look at the real thing. We're at a day and age, right, where I feel like common sense isn't common. I'll say it again. I feel like common sense is not common. We are seeing all these guys who have played so many college games, mm-hmm. yet we want them to turn up at the combine and pro days. And when they don't want to do certain things, oh, the media have a field day. For God's sake, like, where is the, I don't know if it's just me, where is the common sense? Watch their footage. You have scouts who attend these games throughout the entire season because you have an idea in your mind of who you want to draft. Come draft day and pro day when they decide not to. And listen, it's going to become a thing. We're having head coaches who don't even attend combines and pro days now because it's not all that important. It really isn't.
But,
I get it.
Does that mean that the combine's going to go?
I don't think it's going to go. I think it will change. It won't go. I think they'll have to adapt it because more and more players are going to refuse. Look at Marvin Harrison Jr. Did no media. Didn't turn up to the combine. If not working out at the pro days either, yet he will still go bang top five. Pretty much to the Arizona Cardinals, I think, without having mm-hmm. to do anything. That sets a precedent. So for me, it's one of my rants that I've had for years. I just say to myself, this really isn't needed. It really isn't needed. Like for these players, they have more chance of risking their draft stock, which the knock-on effect of that is it saves money. You know, if you drop out of that first round, second round, third round, they have guys who have sat in that green room, clenching their jaws, waiting for their phone to ring, and ain't nothing happening. All because of, you know, something that might have happened during the pro.
I'll tell you what,
it happens.
It could be something that happens off the field.
Off the field too. That, yeah.
Consul, who was going to the Dolphins. He ended up going to the Dolphins when he did the gas mask with weed.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then he saw his stock going down. Something comes out.
Exactly. Yeah. Now imagine you take part in a combine or pro day when you're one of the top prospects and you don't really need to. You know, you bust your ankle or something and people go, well, his report says he already had an injury history. Now he's busted his ankle. We don't want him no more. And whilst for another team, it might be great because they get a bargain and he turns into a superstar. I mean, look at Tom Brady, sixth round. The guy didn't look you know, a baller in any. And we see it every year, though. I just don't understand why. I think it's because it's a business, right? The NFL is a business first. It's all about making money.
Yeah.
You talk about why he's gone to the Vikings. They've obviously paying him money. Saquon Barkley, they're paying him money. Yeah. It's a business first. I just, for the life of me, want to see some change within the combine where it's not so focused on, oh, he didn't hit this number. Get him out of here. Like, that's not what it's about. We know that.
I'll ask you all. So you guys are the GMs of your respective teams.
Mm.
Are you going to, if there's a player who says, listen, check the tape, right? And he's not going to participate. And there's mm-hmm. some other people who are. Are you, I'll start off with you, Amanda. Are you going mm-hmm. to draft the person? Let's say you got one number one draft pick, top three draft picks. And this pick can have effects for years.
Right.
Are you going to take someone without seeing them throw live or, you know, do any of the combine live?
Tape up in the combine.
I mean, I probably want to see them live still. You know, I think watching tape, but also seeing them live. But I also agree, like, you can't take, like, one snippet of a moment of time because that is hard to. People have off days, stuff happens. You know, I think it's more of, like, a holistic everything combined. But I do think, what have they done? Show me, like, their resume, but also show me, like, what's going on right now because there's so many shifts and changes that happen, you know, from day to day that I think it's important to kind of follow that.
Yeah.
Ash?
No, I agree. And I think definitely certain positions, like just focusing on NFL, for example, certain positions I think you want to see live in person. Definitely like defensive players. Oh, if I'm like a scout or a manager or head coach or anything, I want to see some of those big guys do those drills in person, see what they're capable of, get right up in there. But I also will be watching the tape and stuff as well, because I think it's important to see kind of like game planning rather mm-hmm. than kind of like strict, almost like, you know, sterile type drills, which aren't kind of like, you know, game environment, because right, like George said, things change, people have off days, but put you in like a field with X amount of fans and stuff watching in a game environment, suddenly it's all completely different. I think, you know, it's a tough question. Would I draft anybody without seeing them live in person? They've got to be something really special. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you do hear these players say, they don't want to do their pro day, they don't want to come to the combine and stuff, sometimes for me, it kind of gives off a really bad attitude almost. Right. Yeah. So if you can combat that, but also, you know, say, well, this is the reason why I'm not coming to the pro day or not doing the combine, then okay, fair enough. But sometimes it does give off just a bit of a bad attitude, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. That, I think it depends on how it comes across as well. But for me, and you're right with the positions, I feel like I'm leaning towards the game tape. I don't know if I'm biased because I played. Maybe because I actually played the sport. So I feel like I understand that aspect. But it's, if you look at the 40, Xavier Worthy hit that ridiculous 4.21 time or 4.22 time.
Amazing.
And then all the clips that are coming out, you know, it's a great time and he set records. But when you're on the field, you know, it's the chances of you hitting that kind of speed when you're in pads and you've got guys chasing you, etc., unless you come to busted play, isn't really going to happen. Football speed is different to 40-yard dash speed. It's very, very different. So I guess I'm kind of leaning towards the check the tape, so long as it's that recent and, you know, there ain't anything crazy sticking out. Like you say, it heavily depends on position, but I kind of lean that side. And I feel like the combine will have to adapt and shift. I mean, like I said, players are refusing to go. Head coaches aren't going because they don't deem it that important themselves. So proof is in the pudding.
I mean, so true. In gameplay, actually, how many people are actually running 40 yards in one game? Apart from like CMC, who's just like an abomination of a man.
Right.
How many people, like, just thinking about it. I love watching the 40-yard dash, though. Like, absolutely love seeing all these guys sprinting. But it's so true, because when you take Lewis Rees-Zammit, for example, so big kind of rugby player over here in the UK, is now kind of on the IPP pathway. Everybody's raving about him. And you know what? Good luck to him. I do wish him all the best. But we're not seeing these guys running the 40-yard dash in full pads. Right. Put them in pads and then
do it. Someone.
Yeah.
Run with someone.
Exactly.
Who can run just as fast as you. Yeah. Right. You know, because you ain't running in no straight line. They're knocking you, pulling you back. All those things that they can get away with.
And spice up a little bit. Yeah.
When you get rocked, the first time. Lord. Like, there's a difference between, and I'm not hating, but there's a difference 100%. Between rugby hit and someone just throwing their body at you like they're the Dudley Boys from WWE. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a different thing altogether.
I feel like we need a bit of like Total Wipeout or Gladiator style combined with the combine.
Yes.
That'd be a whole TV show in itself.
Amanda, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Seeing as obviously stateside and you've been involved for a while, what's something you would like to see change in the NFL?
That's such a good question. I don't know. I feel like there's so many different things. Mm. I think, so I'm actually a therapist and I actually work with some NFL athletes. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I have found is a lot of them, you know, the day-to-day grind on this, like kind of what you're just saying, what happens to their body on a day in and a day out, and like the pressure, and that's why I work with some of these guys, is sort of like the intensity of it, which is part of the game, yes. But I think what we're doing to their bodies and minds, it does add up and take a toll. So I think for the NFL, we love the game, we love the sport, it is entertainment. But I think just finding some better support within this, and it is a ruthless game, you know, just like, again, it's a business, but some of these guys uplift, like, you know, we don't know where we're going next. We're moving our families. We're moving here. Yeah. We're moving there. And I don't think they get a lot of support. And so then that does play out onto the field, right? When you're not feeling good physically, when you're mentally like so stressed about where you're going next and what's happening. And then it just filters kind of into everything. And so I think some organizations do really well and some don't. And so I think across the board, if there was just more commonality of like, let's support our players, let's take care of them, we would see some shifts in the game. Just on my end, what I see professionally, where I feel for these guys sometimes, because I can't imagine living somewhere and the next day being like, oh, nope, you're off somewhere else. We have to move your kids and their schools. And in the meantime, your body is just hurting physically every single day. It's a lot. So there's shifts in that, I think, are important, but I don't know if it's going to happen, because at the end of the day, it's business. And that is how the NFL sees it. It's all money.
So in the last stint of our chat, obviously, you know, we're going to talk about a bit of sports and a bit of life. I have a predicament for you. I've got full permission, without naming names, who this has happened to, but a friend of mine went on a date. So I'm going to ask you, the knowledgeable heads, Ash is ready to love already. The knowledgeable heads of the advice of who is in the right and who's in the wrong.
Okay.
So a friend of mine went on, was talking to a girl, and the woman said, I was just almost going to name names there. I was just like, I had to pull out quick.
Swallow that in, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
The woman. Right.
So the lady in question said, oh yeah, we should go up for dinner. And then he said, yeah, cool, let's do that. And then she brought it back up again and said, yeah, okay, well, let me know what date you're free. And then he said, okay, well, I'm free, let's say tomorrow, you know. So they met up, and then, you know, he suggested the restaurant. He said, oh, you should try this restaurant. And then said, yeah, she said, cool, that's great. Right, so they have a great meal, have a great time. Then the bill comes. And the bill's high, my friends. High figures. High.
Okay.
Right? He's like, oh, automatically, yo, okay, cool. Right, so my half is this and your half is that. She says, no, I'm you know, I thought that a gentleman buys the meal. And then he said, nah, well, you asked me if we should go out. And she said, well, you named the restaurant. And oh, then mad. He said, well, no. Well, anyway, so you can imagine how uncomfortable this conversation is. So I ask you, my learned friends, I'll start off with new girl, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in the right? Opinions. Who should pay the bill on this
date? I'm super traditional on that. Like, if I'm going on a date, I am, you know, like, I'll be nice and, like, say, hey, I'll throw in. But I'm not expecting you to take it. I'm expecting to say, no, I got it. Like, I covered it. And, like, you guys, I don't know. That's what I think. Like, I'm super traditional.
Like, but you think no. Possibly.
Yeah. I'll offer to be nice as, like, a save of face. But, like, you're not supposed to accept. You're supposed to be like, oh, no, thank you. I got this.
Are you going to do the token like, oh, I, you know, I can pay. Are you going to offer?
Yeah, like, are you sure? And then be like, no, you got it. And it's like, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, like, you're on a date.
Amanda, if he says, okay, cool, you offered. Yeah, okay, well, cool. Well, you're half.
But then I'm going to be like, I'll say okay. But then I'm like, I'll say fine, I'll pay my half. But, like, we're not going on another date. Like, that's it. We're done.
Is he done? Is he dead?
Yeah, probably. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, we're done. Not going there. No. That's just, I don't know. Like, if we're friends, I will pay half, but no. And also, like, he should have, if you suggest the restaurant, you know, ahead of time, if it's super high, like, figure it out, Google it, like, true. Go look at the menu, what's on there. Okay, great. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but if she orders more than him.
Yeah.
I'm making myself look like I'm cheap.
I also live in Miami where it's a different ballgame over here. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's, like, everyone, you know, expects the man to pay. Things are high, prices are high. Like, that's just, it's different over here.
You see this? Miami, see, we've gone back in time here. in this time warp.
I don't know over there, but over here, definitely the mentality is like the man's paying. Like, I think most girls I know would be like offended a little bit at that. Yeah, they would.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I always pay. I'll just make it clear just before someone thinks I'm being cheap. Like, I'm just saying. But all right, George, and then Ash.
I think it's an interesting question because immediately I'm thinking of what I know guys in London would be like. And trust me, that is not the reaction that London guys would have. They would not. Yeah. I think it'd be the other way around. I mean, my opinion is different to what I think would happen. But I think in that scenario, I probably would pay personally because I'm kind of that, a bit of the old school vibe, but a bit of, yeah. I think you kind of weigh it up beforehand. You kind of know who you're taking and you kind of know where you're going and you can suss it out prior. And if you can't, then you're reading the wrong vibes. You know what I mean? So I thought you can kind of tell prior. So I would, but I appreciate the like the half gesture of, oh, are you sure? Like, you know, when you get to that awkward meet, like, oh, what?
You reach for the bell.
Yeah, you make an effort.
I appreciate that. That's good. That's cool because you can you reach. Yeah, at least like, put the hand down.
If you reach,
you make an effort.
Just reach slowly.
You're reaching, and I'm like, that offer might get accepted. All right. That's what I'm saying. Let me tell you this. Like, I'll add some more, another log of fire into this. Ooh. If one person's bill is higher than the other person, if the other person decides to order drinks and stuff like that, and I'm not saying this right, I'm just saying that if the guy thinks he's having a great time, and you know, hey, there might be a chance here, or something might happen. Then I think that some guys will be like, yeah, cool, because he thinks something might happen. I'm not condoning it.
I've just seen
before the women in this start looking at me, but I'm just saying that's sometimes what happened. Now, what happened in this one? just before Ash comes in is the lady, a bit like what she ordered was extra, like extra drinks, and the meal was high. Mm. His one was like he had to balance it out because he's on a budget. So,
fair.
Oh man.
So in that case, if let's say out of $100, yours is 70 and mine's 30, or yours is 80 and mine's 20, then Ash, because I know what Miami Amanda's gonna say.
I have a comment on that though. I do have a comment, but I'll let her go.
So I think, God, so I mean, surely you've got to split. My mindset is though, say if you're going on like a first date, we're living in 2024 now these days, whoever is asking the person out on a date, regardless of what it is, could be going to play mini golf, go to the cinema, do this and stuff, they should be paying, regardless of gender, what you identify as, whatever it is. Whoever is asking the other person out on the date, I think should be expected to pay for something.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? If that's dinner, so be it.
Yeah.
If the other person, and I read a story, did you see the date? I think it was making the rounds on TikTok. This girl was like, I think she ordered something like a ridiculous amount of oysters, champagne, all of this and stuff. And then she expected the guy to pay for everything. And he had like a
quarter. Is this the one with the friends?
I think so.
The birthday one.
And I just think to myself, if you're going out on a date like that and you know, say if the guy's asked you out and you think, okay, well, the guy's going to pay, well, then don't be an asshole and go completely over the top. Unless the guy's a multimillionaire, you know, and he runs like 5 businesses, he's taking you on a private jet somewhere already, then go for it. Otherwise, don't be an asshole. Like, don't be a dick. You know what I mean?
That was my comment. That was going to be my comment. I think as females, you go into it and like, if I'm going on a date, I'm always respectful. Like, you pay attention of what you're ordering. Like, that's just someone that's, you know, they're using you. And then you got to filter those girls out.
Yeah.
Or men too. You got to filter them.
True. So he was right to say, yo, you're going to pay half of this.
I don't know if he was right, but maybe pick who you're going on a date with. I don't know.
Do you know how it ended? How did it end?
Yeah.
Not well.
Oh.
Imagine, they're still together.
I feel like that whole situation can't end well in that kind of scenario.
It did not end well. The plans that he thought he was going to have, it definitely is not happening. At all. I saw another thing as well. You know, shout out Jordan Stallion, I think amazing Instagram.
Love him. Like,
brilliant. So, or is it someone else? Anyway, I saw it someone's stream, but I'll just give him a shout out anyway because he's on my mind. Now, I saw this clip, right? And I'll put a link to it below. I saw a clip where, in the same kind of conversation that we're having here, where this couple got stopped on their travels by someone who's doing some content. And the person said, you know, who should be paying for the meal? Like, you know, oh, sorry, no, not even that. How much money have you got in your bank account? And he asked the guy, and the guy said he's got about, I don't know, 2K or something like that in his bank account, which is a decent amount, whatever. And he's only a young guy. And then he asked the girl, and she said she got over 700,000. Mm. And then and then he turned to her and said, why have you been making me pay for everything if you've got all this money? And then she says, well, you're a gentleman, you should be paying for everything, because the guy's supposed to pay for everything. And then them two ended up getting into the argument and breaking up. But she was like adamant that he, despite the fact that he's not even got a fraction of her money in his bank account, he should be paying for everything.
Yeah, that's a little unfair.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're not siding with them.
No, I actually feel bad. I'm like, okay, that one's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Like, we're not trying to like, you know, put someone out on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
But you know, like that's
if you've got 700K in your bank account.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
At least pay for like coffees.
Come on now.
Something.
Make an effort.
Listen. I say this for all the men. Listen, men. It's getting warmer. Yeah, it's spring, and then it's going to be summer. This is not our time. This is not.
This is not our time.
We can win these battles. However, when it gets colder in September to October. It's cuffing season. Cuffing season then, and that's when we live kings. And that's when we prosper. We can get our full revenge then. So just hold tight. Cuffing season, any time that men win. That's it. I'm not saying that Amanda's going to come in.
Maybe that's Miami's problem, is we don't have a winter, so there's never cuffing season.
I was going to say.
Maybe.
When it gets to near Christmas, that's when people are like, oh, you know, that guy that
I need to
friend zone. Maybe, I'm not really liking him, but like, I don't want to be alone for Christmas. So that's when I'm going to be like soup one up.
You start listening to them Drake soundtracks and that.
Hold on, Kings.
That's good to say.
We're going to get through the spring and the summer, and then it's our turn. It's our time then.
Okay, then it's up.
No, thank you so much, guys, for hanging with me on our first ever episode of Ranty. I loved having these chats about different scenarios. I'm going to come up with a different one. I'm going to go digging.
I was just going to say, I'm going to think of a real good one for the next one.
I like
next week, we're going to come out with our own conundrum. And then we can, watch sports or not, but we can, definitely see what the others think. And I'm gonna start causing more and more trouble, so me and Amanda can argue about more stuff than just the Eagles and the Giants. That's damn sure.
I like to argue. I'm the only American here, so I feel like,
True.
You've got to hold your ground, yeah.
True. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You represent all American women, and that's an unfair...
That's a lot of pressure.
You. But now you represent every single woman in the United States of America, and there's all your opinions is their opinions. So
They're going to all come for me.
Thanks again, guys. We'll catch you next week. All right, peace.
Bye.